children. So we just release peace over them and hope over them. And if there's illness out there, we just bind it in the name of Jesus and release health and goodness over all the lives of the people that are connected to Arise Church and their families, their children and their children's children, to all the generations, Father. We just thank you for your mercy and your goodness to be poured out this year over our church family and all of those that we hold dear. And so I just thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are welcome. We, those that are here, say you, we are open. You are welcome. You are welcome. You are welcome. You are welcome, Holy Spirit. You are welcome. You are welcome to be here to do as you please, as what you want. And we're going to lift up Jesus high, and we're going to worship and sing and shout with all our might, because we're going to love you with all of our heart, mind, and soul and strength today. And we are just going to worship you. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, amen. Give thanks to the Lord, to the Lord. In the face of the battle, rejoice in the storm. Tell the wind you're not afraid. He's with us.
I'll never stop.
let the people say, His love endures forever. give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You're the only one. The only one, the only one, the only one, the only one can take our broken pieces, put them back together. The one that removes all the shame from our hearts and our minds over our lives, where we fell and we missed it. And you say, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. There's no shame, there's no shame, there's no shame in me. I turn it all around, you see. I'll turn it all around, you see. I'll turn it all around. Enemy meant to be and make you just like me, full of my glory, full of my glory. Oh God, there is nothing better than you. You came to remove all that humanity would do, all that this heavy weighted world would bring, the broken hearts, the broken lives, the broken minds. You came to undo it all, to show us who we truly are. You're beautifully beloved children. There is nothing better than you. There is nothing higher than you. You who created me, who created us before the world began. Created in you, for you, by you, for love. For love, for love, for love. That's who you are. You are created for love. And there is nothing that can separate you from Him. Because there is nothing better than His goodness, His mercy. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing. King of kings, to you, Lord of lords, my everything, my everything, my everything. I look to you, Jesus. I look to you, Spirit. over our hearts, over our minds, over our lives, over our pain, Lord, over our disappointment, Lord. Open our eyes, open our eyes to more. Open our eyes, open our eyes, open our eyes to more. That we walk in the door 2025, with open eyes, of the Spirit, open eyes of the Spirit, open eyes of the Spirit. We won't let our eyes get distracted by the news, by the fear, by the anxiety. We'll turn it all down and we'll set our eyes, our open eyes, our open spirit to you, to you, to you. Because you are not giving up on this earth. You haven't given up on this earth. You have not given up on this world. You have not given up. You've not given up. We have a part to open our eyes and see what lies ahead of 2025. And in you there is nothing good, bad. It is all good. It is all good. It is all faithful. It is all true. Your plans, your purposes, above all that this evil world might have. You are good. You are good. You are good. You are good. You are faithful to the end. You are good. You are good. You are good. You are good. You are faithful to the end. You are good. You are good. You are good. You are good. You are faithful. You are good, you are good, you are good, you are faithful to the end. We declare, you are good, you are good, you are good, you are good, you are faithful to the end. You are good, you are good, you are good, you are good, you are faithful to the end. Over me, over my children and my children's children, over me, and all those that I free indeed, and free of my heart, oh God. People that I love, all that are connected in. You are good, you are good. You are good, you are good. No matter what it looks like, you are worthy of it all. No matter what it feels like, you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. From you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all I have, all that I am, and from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy. children of your glory, children of your glory we are, and we hunger for more. Children of your presence, children of your presence, we want to carry more, carry more, carry more. Wherever we go, whatever we do, you shine through. Wherever we go, whatever we do, you shine through. Wherever we go, whatever we do, you shine through. Wherever we go, whatever we do, you shine through. Wherever we go, whatever we do, you shine through. That's my heart. Wherever I go, whatever I do, you shine through. Wherever I walk, wherever I step, you shine through. Wherever I speak, wherever I am, shine through, you shine through. Have your way in me, Spirit of God. Have your way in me. Is that your heart's cry? That he would overwhelm, overtake, overshadow all your steps? That he would have his way? When you see that person that you know needs healing, that you would just step out and say, my God is a healer, my God is a restorer. That we wouldn't pause, that we wouldn't wait, that he so lives so deeply, so strongly right there where we are, that it's just automatic, that our flesh is laid down and his spirit arises to live in us, to live through us, to be through us. Wherever I go, whatever I do, you come through. Whatever I do, wherever I go, you shine through. Let it be, let it be, let it be, that I would allow you to be all that you want to be through me. Wherever I go, whatever I do, you shine through. Spirit, we linger here with you. Spirit, we linger here with you. Spirit, drawing near, you are here, you are here, you are here, touching our hearts and minds, drawing near, more, 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 more of you, more. Compartmentalized for just church times, but every day, every moment of every way, living, breathing, having your way, we surrender to you today. Wash over our minds, wash over our hearts, wash over our brokenness that's come to tear us apart, and you restore, you restore, you restore my broken heart, you restore my broken mind, you your spirit. I surrender all to the workings of your heart for your highest good in my life. Your highest good in my life. No place, no place would we rather be than here, wrapped in your love. Lord, that you may make such an impression, a mark on our lives in this moment, that this week, when we come against things that the enemy would, life, earth, would bring against us, we would remember this place. We would remember this place, this place, this place, this place of peace, this place of hope, this place of love, this place of adoration, your adoration for us and our adoration of you. And it would chase and it would push back the darkness that tries to so easily beset on us, to take our focus from the truth of who we are and take us from the truth of who you are.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you today. We love you. We thank you for your presence, God. God, stir our hearts. In 2025, we'll seek you more than we have in our entire life. That we'll seek you to be in your presence, to be a carrier, God, of your goodness. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. God is good, huh? That's good. Well, go hug someone. Tell someone hello. It's a good day to be in God's house and not out in the rain. Hey, Herman. You are. Grab Richard back there, and we'll pray over the offering, and Karen can do the announcements. Robert and Francis are home this morning. They have an animal that's very ill. They don't miss very much, amen? You know, sometimes pastors will convince you that, you know, you can't live as a Christian if you're not in church every Sunday morning, but I have proved it different. Amen. It's good because God's always faithful, isn't he? He is. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Lord, your goodness to us, Lord. We just pray over Robert and Francis and their household, Lord. We pray over everyone that's ill. Lord, we lift up Richard to you, who's having a procedure tomorrow, and we declare healing over his shoulder and a really fast recovery, Father. Lord, we ask that you bless our county. Lord, none of us want to see ice. you know, God, I'm looking for April already. So just the rain to grow. That's all we need, Father, the rain to grow. Lord, we ask you to bless these people and their families in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on up, Karen Lee. We had a good time in Texas.
We did.
1,500 miles worth of good time.
We rode the roads of Texas. We left here last Sunday afternoon after church, and we went down halfway to my brother's. We stopped in Lufkin and spent the night, and then we drove on down to near Victoria, where he lives. He lives in Cuero, but it's such a tiny town, most people don't know where Cuero is. Yes, that's right, Luling. Yeah, we stopped at Bucky's, too. And so, I believe so. We stopped at the one in Madisonville. It was smaller, and it still set us back 2 hours, I'm pretty sure. So we skipped all the other Buc-ee's on the way because we did want to get where we were going. And you could get lost in a Buc-ee's for a long time. But we had a good time. We actually went a different way this year. So we went through Madisonville. And while I saw Madisonville, I was like, oh, my great-grandparents are from here. And my grandmother was born here because I've been doing the ancestry stuff. So real quick, looked up on my ancestry thing for the cemetery. And Tommy, I said, no, let's not go. It's like 10 miles out of the way. He's like, let's just go. So we went looking for the cemetery where my great-grandparents were buried. I didn't find it, but next time we go, we're going to try. But we had a good time. And then after my brother's birthday was New Year's Eve. And after we left there on New Year, we spent New Year's Eve and New Year's Day with him. We headed to North Texas to Decatur, where we used to be in the ministry there 20 years ago or so, and stayed with my good friend Sharita. Y'all might remember Sharita. She led worship the second Sunday after Keegan passed away for us. She was here and did a fabulous job. She is a songwriter and a psalmist, and so we saw her. And then we drove over to McKinney the next day and saw Tommy's Sunday school teacher from when he was a little bitty boy. She's 90 or so, and her daughters were there, and they were family friends for years. So we just had a big, long travel circle in Texas. We thank you for your prayers. We had a great time, and we thought about y'all. I was hoping everybody was getting well. COVID was making its way around, and norovirus and all that stuff, and we were praying y'all were all well. We didn't hear any bad news. That was good. And so, but we're happy to be home, but you can tell I'm a little stiff because of all that driving. I kept moving my legs and bouncing my feet, but I still got stiff. But anyway, we're so thankful for our church. And that worship this morning, I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. That song, No Place I'd Rather Be, there is no place I would rather be. Unfortunately, we have to get up and go to work and go to Walmart, but not today because Walmart's closed, y'all, just in case you didn't know. They're having trouble with something, and so they had to shut down. But anyway, it was crazy. But, you know, that presence that we sensed here, not sensed, experienced, encountered, is with you all the time on the inside of us. But
just like I talked about last week with our focus gets on the bills or on the job or on the kids or the grant or whatever is coming at us, you know, to think about or to worry about or, you know, whatever it is. And we just need to be intentional to focus in, to focus in. You don't have to focus up. We don't have to ask him to come down. He's on the inside. We got to ask him to come out. We got to set our intention to let him out and let him up. And so I have set my intention that 2025, I'm going to do that. And when I hear something bad news that's going to affect me, I think I'm just going to go, well, ain't that interesting? How are you going to take that on, God? It's going to be a show. You're going to show up and show out on my behalf. And I'm going to stay calm. And I'm going to stay in my peace. And I'm declaring it today. And when I fall and I fail, I'll let you know. Because you know what? We do sometimes. But you know what? He's faithful to bring that right back. As soon as we just, oh, I got caught up in this worry. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let me set my focus. And so I'm just praying that you guys are catching the expansion of your spirit, expansion of who you truly are, and are going to embrace that with us this year. That worship that we had, I am planning to do a worship night once a month in throughout the year. I'm not sure what day it's going to be on. I don't know if it's going to be on a Sunday night or a Friday night. I just don't know what it's going to be on yet. We may have a band, and it may just be me on the keys. But you know what? It could just be, or it may just be music on the back, on the player, like we do for intercessory prayer. And we just worship and pray and believe God for our lives and our children and our county, our city. And so we're going to do that once a month, and I'm excited about it. So you'll hear more about that. Just let everybody know there are four ways to give if you're online. And we have our mobile app, Tithely, and then also our PayPal. And, of course, the offering's been taken up in here this morning with your cash or check. Intercessory prayer from 9:30 to 9:45, where we pray and set the atmosphere for Holy Spirit to do whatever he wants to do. And then all of our information and our announcements are on Facebook and our risechurch.cc. Mr. Richard has a testimony. And, you know, in the New Testament, church was one brings a song, a word, a testimony. And I want more of those. We actually had people leave one time because there was too many testimonies and too much music. And sadly, I felt bad. They just didn't understand, you know. And we just pray as they've gone on that they've got more understanding of what church is about. But Mr. Richard has a testimony. And you almost cried this morning when you were telling me. And I totally understand. So I'm going to let him share that.
The praise and worship today was right on how good God is and how faithful he is. The Bible tells us that not only will he save our families if just one of us is saved, but he'll protect us. Okay? Well, I'm talking to my daughter New Year's Eve. Oh, you can't hear me? I'm sorry. But and she called me, and I'm talking to her. In the conversation, I asked her, I said, are you going out tonight? She said, no, I don't have anybody to go out with. I find that kind of strange because she lives close to New Orleans. She's like 20 to 30 minutes out from New Orleans. And she likes to go to all these things because she's still living in the world and all this kind of stuff. And it caught me kind of off guard. She didn't have anybody to go with. And she knows from living down there that you don't go to New Orleans without a group of 10 or 12 people. So she didn't have anybody. None of her work people that she works with, none of her friends, they were all busy. Get up the next morning, there's a terrorist attack. I mean, God is that good. When you don't even know you need him, and there he is, bam. You know, and I mean, it's still touching my heart today. You know, I mean, I was like, thank you, Jesus. I've been thanking him, and I ain't stopped. So just remember, he's good when you don't even think he is. He's working.
That's right. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And Father, right now, we just thank you for his daughter being saved from that. And we just thank you that you're going to use that and draw her to you and your goodness and your mercy. And for all the families that lost people on the streets of New Orleans in that terrorist attack, we just ask that your peace and your hope would come to those families, that your comfort that only you can bring to those mamas and dads and husbands and brothers and sisters, that you would bring peace that passes all understanding and encompassing comfort to them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. What a nice day for rain, huh? You know, when it rains in January, I think of my dad, my father, Carl, because just as soon as Christmas is over with, probably before, he just didn't tell anybody about it, he would be planning what he's going to plant for the spring. In fact, he'd create beds out of wood and plastic and lights to keep them warm, and everybody else is just looking outside at the weather and the cold and thinking, you know, one day in the spring it'll be good for gardening. And Dad wouldn't wait. In the cold months, he would start planting. He would start putting plants in those beds, and he would nurture those things like they were babies. And he would look at them and take temperatures of the soil and temperatures of the air, make sure they were getting moisture. So I said all that to say this. It's January. What are you planting for this year? What are you doing with the soil inside your heart, and what seeds are you putting in there? So when we were in Texas years ago, it was a big thing in the church we were in that everybody would ask God for a word for the new year. And when we left there, we did it for several years, and I guess we kind of got away from it because every day's a new day, and God's always the same, and he's always good, which is a good word to have, right? But we saw our friend in North Texas, and she said she almost forgot to ask God for a word for this year. And right before she went to sleep one night, God just dropped the word in there because he's like that. Because it's, you know, you carry the presence with him, with you. It's recognizing that he's with you is the point that we don't do. He's always there. He's never left you. He's there. So the word that she got was steady. So open your Bibles up to Exodus chapter 17, because I thought, I've got a message series for this month, but I thought this was a good word to start off January with. Because it's just something that we need to get inside of us to be steady. You know, the boat captains, ship captains have a saying, steady as she goes, right? Then that's just keeping the course. It's keeping the course that's set. So in Exodus chapter 17, starting in verse 8, we find Moses. People are in the Exodus, leaving Egypt and going to the land of Canaan. And they hadn't got there yet, and people are attacking them, because they didn't want a million people coming into where they were. And and the Bible says in Exodus 17:8, then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, choose some men for us and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek, and while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up on top of the hill. Whenever Moses held his hand up, Israel prevailed, and whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hand grew heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on either side, so his hands were steady until the sun set, and Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the sword. So here's the question for you. You know, I always got a question, right? Are you steady on the rock? They put a rock under Moses. Are you steady? Are you consistent? Are you
Are you following after God with your entire heart? Are you looking for what he's saying to you in 2025? Are we just going off what we heard before? Are we hearing now? This was a word that they got that day right then. It worked for them, right? You know, it wasn't like some of the stuff we get in the mail, send your money here, do this, do that, and all this stuff will work out for you. If you're one of the first 50 givers, then you'll have 58 blessings. I'll never forget that one. And it was on a rerun for years. But anyway, are you steady? Because God is. God is steady. Amen? In Psalms 119, it says this. It says, keep my steps steady according to your promise. You know, steady and consistent are the same thing. You keep a steady speed. In Texas, you can set the cruise on 85 on most of the highways and on every toll road. And you're still getting past steadily. But your speed is steady, right? Sometimes it's hard to stay steady in life because there's hills that you climb, there's valleys that you go through, there's good times that you enjoy, there's bad times you wish no one would have to endure. But are you steady? The psalmist said, keep my steps steady. Don't let me falter. Don't let me step aside. The writer in Proverbs says that as we trust in him, he makes our path straight, right? He straightens our path because they get crooked. We step to the left. We step to the right. We go the wrong way. Sometimes we're standing still and we should be moving. Sometimes we're moving and we should be standing still. There's a steadiness from God that we need to adopt in our life and say, am I being steady with what you've given me, God? Am I walking in the light of the understanding that I have, knowing that I don't know everything, knowing that there's questions that come up in my mind? I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and, you know, it's sometimes when we pray, where's the answer at? Sometimes we pray for things in our life over our family or over our business or over just over life in general, and we wonder, where's this answer at? Carrie's mom and I, Julie, used to go around all the time, when, God, when, right? And then it dawned on me one day, maybe there's something that God is waiting for me to do, and I don't even bother to ask him, what do I need to do to make this happen? What step do I need to take? Keep my steps steady. Keep me moving in the right direction at the right speed. You know, it's at the right speed that you come into the divine appointments that God has for you in 2025. It's submitting yourself to the faithfulness of God and knowing that breathing in and breathing out, you're in constant communion with him. You know, God isn't just with you when you come to church or when you're in worship or when you can really feel in worship. God is with you all the time. His faithfulness is never. He never stops. Psalms 112 says this. Verse 8, it says, their hearts are steady. They will not be afraid. And in the end, they'll look in triumph on their foes. Now, when you see foes in the Old Testament, or you see enemies in the Old Testament, like we did in the portion of Exodus that we read, remember, our enemies are not other people. Our enemies are the forces that push them. Our enemies are the darkness. Our enemies are the own prejudice within our heads. Our enemies are the own our own poor perception of who people are. You know, if you're looking for gold in people, they look pretty good. But if you're looking for the bad in folks, you're going to find it, right? Keep our hearts steady. Let me look at people the way that you look at them. Let me treat them, God, the way that you want them to be treated. I mean, that's a goal to set in January. That'll carry you through the year, because I promise you, in just a blink of an eye, and I tried to blink, but I couldn't, but in a blink of an eye, it's going to be December 31st, 2025. We're all old enough in here to know that years fly by, and we can't even remember what happened yesterday. God is steady. Isn't that basically what Jesus said? The people who build their house on the rock, they were steady builders. They, regardless of the storm that came in, because of the foundation that they put underneath them, they were able to stand through the storm. Steadiness will take you through. You'll end up on the other side the way God wants you to. Steady as she goes. James 5 says this. Indeed, we call blessed those who showed endurance or showed steadiness. You've heard of the endurance of Job, and you've seen the outcome that the Lord brought about, for the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Poor Job. I would have not liked to have been Job. The character in that story, he suffered greatly, and his friends couldn't understand why, and then they started to blame him, and they said, it's your fault because you got some kind of hidden sin. And finally, God comes on the scene and at the end and says, no, he doesn't. Job did everything right. And the story ends with people wondering, well, how can he have done everything right and bad things happen to him? And Jesus comes along and says, it rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. The sun rises on the righteous and the unrighteous. But the difference between Job and his friends was that Job stayed steady with God. When he didn't understand, he stayed steady. When he thought everything was just was falling around him, he stayed steady. You know, there's a lot of words floating around right now because that's what prophets do. And they really love this time of year, and they said it. I'm sure someone, and it could be the year of Jubilees. I didn't even look. But almost every year you hear it's the 50th year. It's the year of Jubilees. This is all, everything you've ever believed for God's going to come due this year. I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you that God is steady. That his faithfulness never quits, that he never gives up on you, that he never turns his back on you, he never walks away. You've never disappointed him so bad that he's just shaking his hands of you and going another direction. I can't deal with them any longer. We get that way. Sometimes we get that way with God because we blame him for the things that are wrong in our life. Usually the things that are wrong in our life because of the person whose hair we fixed this morning. I said that because Karen helped me with my hair this morning. So, steadiness. Steadiness is almost a gift of the Spirit. Because you can't do it without him. You have to have the enabling of his grace to be able to be steady. To be able to be consistent. In my dorm room in Bible college, and these great scholars, rolling my eyes, would write on the bathroom walls. And most of the stuff wasn't worth reading, but there was this one that was circled, and I really liked it. It said, inconsistency breeds insecurity. And I thought, they're so true, because the more that we're consistent, the more that we're steady, it builds confidence in us that we're hearing from the voice of God and we're seeking his presence and acknowledging his presence. Because he's not running his presence away from you. It's seeing him in the moment. Not seeing him with the way that we want things to be, but seeing him in the moment. He's there in the sadness. He's there in the joy. He's there in the trying times, And he's there when you feel like you're winning. In chapter 17 of Exodus, the people cross over the Red Sea in 15 and 16, and they come to the wilderness in the beginning of 17, and there's no water. They're in a desert. And they start complaining. Don't judge them, because if you were in the desert with no water, you'd be complaining too. And then Moses takes it personally that they're complaining about God and says, hey, what's wrong with this people? They got no water. Why can't you just be thankful that, you know, God just saved you from the Egyptians? I guess he was trying to put a good spin on it. But I promise you, if you're in the desert, water is very important. I read that and I think, how can you be mad at them? Because they're complaining there's no water. There's no water. But God led them to a place of blessing where the water came out of the rock. There was good times, there was bad times, there were worse times. But the faithfulness of God was there in the testimony of those people. And for generations later, for hundreds of generations later, the Bible still speaks of the faithfulness of God in those moments of leading them out. God has always been steady. He doesn't play with your emotions. He's always for you. Amen? So this year, let's be steady. So I got 12 more minutes. I got a good introduction here for rebuild. It's return, rebuild, and renew. We're going to end up with renew, but it's about return and rebuild and renew. It's a good thing to start the year off right, because this is what we do now just sets the tone for the year. What happens in January is a very important. In Nehemiah and Ezra, two of the most exciting books in the Bible, as my wife would say. She wouldn't. She goes, what does it mean you're gonna preach out of it? Because that's all she said. When I sent her that graphic, all she saw was Ezra and Nehemiah. And whoa. And I can imagine, because they're not very exciting books. It was a very exciting time, though, in the life of Israel. And they had been in exile for decades. God had come in because of their wickedness, because they worshipped other idols, and the Babylonians had conquered them and taken all of the good people to Babylon. And they left all the people that nobody cared about in the land. They took all the leaders, and they took them there for a generation of people. God said they would, through Daniel and Jeremiah, they said they would be there for 70 years. Well, a little less than 70 years, Cyrus comes in, a Persian king, and he defeats Babylon. And he frees the Jewish people because he has a different attitude toward captured people. He'll let them live in their land as long as, you know, they pay the tax, right? Well, they can't pay the tax if they're not in the land to work the land and to have an income. So he sends them back. And a portion of them went back. And a few years later, a portion more went back. And a few years after that, Nehemiah comes in there. And it's just a wonderful story of how they came back into the land, how they rebuilt the temple, and they renewed their covenant with God. Because there were a whole generation of people who grew up outside of the knowledge of the temple, there were people when they returned that had never seen Solomon's temple. And now it wasn't there any longer. And the people that had seen it, the very old ones, they were very sad. Even when they rebuilt, they finally finished rebuilding the temple, and because it was so less than what they had imagined that Solomon's temple had been. But looking at this story and learning from this story, we can take these three things of returning, because we all need to come back to a place where our hearts are on fire for God, a place where we make an effort to reconnect with him and to reach new heights of connection with him and new heights of new, what's the word I'm looking for? A new temperature. Amen? Everybody wants a Blackstone, right? And I'm thinking, we already got a griddle inside the house. But anyway, let's put one outside. But it cooks at a very high temperature. Sometimes things just taste better if they're cooked fast and hot, right? Sometimes your heart cools down. And you get, what's the word? You get apart from God. It's not that he moved. You did. It's not that he's not aware of you. It's that we become unaware of him. So in the Jewish mind, at the post-exile, when they were coming back, their mindset had been, since they got out there, was God is not here with us because he pulled his presence from the temple of Solomon, and then he went back to heaven, and he's not with us in Babylon. And they had to learn that God was with them. If you don't believe that God was with them, just read Ezekiel, because he's talking to Ezekiel every day. And Ezekiel was one of the captives that went out along with Daniel. And God was speaking to them, and they learned that God's presence wasn't just in Jerusalem, but that it covered the entire world. Learning that God is constantly with us is something that needs to be ground inside of us. That when 2026 gets here in a year, and we're talking about something else, the first Sunday in January, that we've come back. We've returned back to a place where God knows that we know that he's there. Jeremiah said this in Jeremiah 24:7. He said, I will give them a heart to know that I am the Lord, and they will be my people, and I will be their God. For they will return to me with their whole heart. In 2025, starting this month, let's ask God, what parts of my heart do you not have? What parts of Jesus is talking to people in Revelation, and he's talking to a church, and he makes this statement, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anybody opens the door, I'll come in and sup with you. I'll come in and spend time with you. Imagine being a church. Jesus is on the outside. Imagine that's almost as bad as looking at Pharisees and asking them, have you never read? But Jesus is knocking on the door of believers, and he wants to get into their heart. What compartments of my heart are off limit to God? What compartments of my thinking, if my thoughts are off limits to God? Am I an open book to you? Or I'm like, you can go in that room, because there's some company you'll bring over to your house, but you only bring them into your living room, right? And then there's some company that they just go all over your house, right? I mean, they're like family, right? And if they open a door and it's not as tidy as the rest of the house, they don't care because they got a room just like it at the house. Just like we all do. But do we treat God like he's family? Or is he just a guest? Is he just someone you honor, but not someone you chill with? I mean, do you watch Netflix with Jesus? I love to say it because it's true. I have coffee with Jesus every day. He doesn't drink very much. I have to do most of the drinking of the coffee, but he's there. And I always acknowledge him that he's there. Return with your whole heart. Imagine Jeremiah saying this, and the temple of Solomon was still standing. There was a king, a Davidic king, on the throne. And he's telling them that you're going to go to another land. God is going to move you, but you will return. I want to return. I don't want to go back to when I was first saved. I want to return to the spot where God has complete access to my thoughts, my heart, my emotions, my goals. I don't want God to be the first thing on my list. He's not on my list. He's what my list consists of. He's the creator of the universe. You ever read how large the universe is? How fast that it expands? I read something the other day that said that even if we could travel at the speed of light, there are galaxies and stars that we would never reach because we would never live long enough. Even if you started when you were a baby and you lived to be 110, you still wouldn't get there. Traveling at the speed of light, that's just crazy to me. God is bigger than that. He spoke it all into existence. He crafted every bit. And yet, he comes to us and he knocks because there's portions of our hearts that are off limits. Do not enter. Some of them I put on in Jesus, enter at your own risk. You know, we act like we can hide stuff from him. Like we can keep things from him that, you know, I've been good, God. I go to church. I give offerings. I worship. I study. I read the Bible. I talk to people about your goodness. You know, like there's some, I don't know, like a checklist. Like you're getting stars by your name in heaven or something, right? I mean, it's kind of like that. But, you know, asking God to just come in and clean house. Come in and did you know how I feel about that person? Sometimes I want to tell God, if you had met them the way that I met them, you'd feel about it. No, he wouldn't. But anyway, it's kind of fun sometimes to have those arguments. God wants us, our entire heart. And the more open we are to him, and the more access and freedom that we willingly give, it causes us to move into a place of growing. So the second thing that they did when the Jewish people returned after was they rebuilt. Acts 15:16 says this. After this, James is talking, actually, I think. He says, after this, I will return. He's talking about God. And I will rebuild the dwelling of David. In the King James, it says, I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen. And from its ruins, I will rebuild it, and I will set it up. You know, that's a crazy thing for a Jewish person to say. Because Herod's temple was built. They were in Jerusalem when he said it. And Herod's temple at this time was probably more beautiful than Solomon's temple. He probably spent more on it. It was Josephus said it was like a wonder of the world. It was so beautiful before it was destroyed by the Romans. But God wasn't talking about that building, not a building of stone, but a building of living stones, of you and I, of being rebuilt. You know, we take a lot of abuse in this life. People do. And sometimes it's from other people. And sometimes it's from unmeaning other people. But there's still abuse that happens. There's still damage that happens to us. We need to let God rebuild us. We need to be conscious of the fact that in this year, in this new year, that God is rebuilding us from the inside out. Because of the access that we're giving him, because of the freedom that he has, he can come in there and he can change things and change thought patterns and heal old wounds and open up new avenues of learning and of knowledge and of closeness to him. You know, Karen and I have been together since she was 16 when we went on our first date, right? I was not 16. Let's just say it that way. It wasn't until last year that I learned that she loves Snoopy. the Peanuts dog. I said something to Kayla, and she said, Dad, I've known this forever. And I said, I didn't. How have I been married to this woman for all these years and didn't know she loved Snoopy? I mean, I knew she loved Diet Sprite. I knew that she loves cheeseburgers with no onions, no pickles. I still forget to ask for them not to be put on there, but I know that she loves it that way. I know all kinds of things about her, but I didn't know that she loved Snoopy. So I went to Jesus last year and I said, what about you? What do I not know about you? What have I been blind that, you know, she's got, Karen had Snoopy's. I went back through her Facebook. She had Snoopy memes, like, throughout her Facebook. Her cover page at that time was a Snoopy. And I'm thinking, how blind can I be? And I'm living with this person. We do life together, right? If I could not know that she loved Snoopy, imagine what we don't know about Jesus. Rebuild. And the third thing is this. Renew. Man, I got renewed this week. I really did. We got to Texas on Monday night. I went to bed at what, 9:30? I woke up at 12:30 the next day. I mean, I slept right through, buddy. The next day on Tuesday, I did the same thing. On Wednesday, it got cut short. I had to rise at the early hours of like 9 o'clock. I only got 12 solid hours Wednesday night. You know, renewing has a lot to do with resting. Be still. And know that I'm God. Isaiah said, but those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. The people that wait, people that rest in the faithfulness of God, people that are confident enough in God's love, they can get in a room with Him and just sit there and be quiet. Just let Him do the talking. Get a legal pad. You know, if you want to hear something from God, get something to write on and go, just put the time and date and say things that God is saying to me right now and just listen. And I promise you, He'll start talking. He'll bring things up. He'll say good things to you. He'll tell you about things that are coming. He'll tell you, he'll give you perspective to things that have been. Renew. Give God the opportunity to renew this month. Amen? Let's all stand. I want to end a little differently. Last week we ended up around the altar and I prayed over everyone. But today I want to just take a few minutes and find someone to pray with. It could be your spouse. It could be another friend. But find someone, or you can get in twos and threes and just pray, rebuild. Return, rebuild, and renew over those people, and pray that we all have a steady walk with God this year. And then I'll close in prayer in just a moment. So just find someone. Becky, if you could put on a little praying music, it'd be great. Amen. You're still praying, just go right ahead. Father, we just come to you and we thank you for today. We thank you for this new year, Lord. God, we ask that you move in our hearts and our minds and our emotions and lead us closer to you and help us to bring other people close to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a wonderful afternoon. Be blessed.